Welcome to Front Row Geeks.
Like totally just like lost in his own world of just like my god.
But I'm gonna say his last name. Henry Cavill.
Carville.
But he's just so damn sexy.
He's a good looking man.
They're just totally ignoring what the other like what they say. They're just trained up. What?
And it's just like, and Ben, what do you think?
I agree.
That's all he says.
Oh, let me guess. We're recording now.
Yes.
Thanks.
So we're starting off the episode with "Hello, darkness, my old friend."
This
is going to be an awesome segue into the topic of the night, which is Batman v. Superman.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Front Row Geeks podcast, where Eddie's just going to hit record button and not tell anyone.
It happens.
That's a regular occurrence.
But, see, it wasn't a regular occurrence when Eddie wasn't here, though.
Well, yeah. That's...
You can tell the boss has returned.
I'm back.
So, there's
welcome
gonna
back.
There's going to be some spoilers in this episode. We're going to talk about Batman v Superman.
Okay.
So
fanboys, be warned.
And if you haven't seen it, don't go.
So, one opinion. But we need to point something out first. Now, for the sake of anyone who doesn't want to be spoiled, I need to ask this. Do we want to save the Batman v Superman conversation for later in our recording?
Yes, let's get the other stuff out of the way first.
Okay.
Just kind of gives people a chance to listen to our program without wondering if they're going to accidentally spill into it.
All right.
Are we going to do introductions?
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not a regular member of the podcast, so we would definitely have to
I've only been here like 5 times.
Yeah.
But every time I'm on here, people love me.
Of course.
The people.
They love me.
I love nature. Anyway.
So let's start on the other side of the table.
Oh, Lady Haterade.
Deadly Sodium.
Boss Man Baron 5X.
Kage Palazzo.
And Review.
It sounds like you're saying the same word twice.
Well, except it's spelled R-E-V-U with a macron over it, dash, R-E-V-I-E-W. So, review.
Yes.
Review.
What he said.
Sure. Okay, I'll take your word for
What's
it.
What's your Twitter handle?
At review.
Okay. That reminds me. Kelsey, did you get yourself a Lady Haterade Twitter handle yet? Because that needs to happen if you haven't gotten that yet.
No, but you can change your Twitter handle. It's not like...
Oh, okay. I don't know if you wanted one separate.
You're not
stuck. Whoa, you can change that?
Yeah.
It shows you how much I know about Twitter.
I'm new to the Twitter world, and I just remember reading that when I was signing up and... Whatever.
It's your vacation time.
What is, I mean, outside of Batman v Superman, what topics do we have for tonight? Because
there's two other things. Easy.
Oh, yeah, Renaissance Festival.
Well, actually, you know what? This could be very spoilerless episode. Because the other thing I want to talk about was season 2 of Daredevil.
All right, so we'll hold off on that.
You can't. We have 2 episodes left.
You have 2 episodes
left. Oh, okay, you guys have 2 episodes left.
And Will hasn't watched it either.
Okay.
You're gonna spoil me.
Oh, maybe we can't do it today.
Right. I think we should hold off on the Daredevil talk, except for, oh my gosh, Daredevil is totally amazing.
Okay, like, let's start there with that.
Although, I don't quite agree with you in the sense that you say that it is, like, Game of Thrones.
Okay, yes.
I'm talking about writing.
Wait, Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones.
I don't know anything
about it. Are we talking about this, or are we going to a different topic?
We're going to be spoil-free, little general talk at the beginning. Because I do need to address the same thing you are now, Kelsey. Because, yes, we use Slack to communicate amongst each other.
Supposedly. I'm still trying to log on.
So, in our chat, Deadly Sodium here mentioned that the writing for Daredevil 2 was on par with Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones.
Yes,
and I'm going to have to disagree.
Yeah,
well, now, that is not a diss at all on Daredevil. Because I just think that they do two different things in Daredevil and Game of Thrones. That the writing needs to be on a different level for Game of Thrones to work. Daredevil works for a number of different reasons outside of the writing. Because there are some stretches sometimes, I think, that needs to be made in Daredevil.
Okay, so the fight scenes are amazing, and they kind of help carry
they
that
are.
Show, too.
The fight scenes are what so make good. Daredevil so much better than Arrow or Flash, because they actually seem, to a degree, more realistic. Not all of them, but, the more hand-to-hand stuff, way better.
I love the nice touch how everybody has their own fighting style. Doesn't matter who it is, they all have a very unique sense of how they fight. It's really good. I love that.
Because, in Arrow, it just seems so scripted and so choreographed and practiced, whereas Daredevil, it makes me believe that they're actually fighting.
Kind of reminds me of, episode one of Star Wars when, Obi-Wan Kenobi gets super mad and he comes out and does little flips and stuff. When he's supposed to be, really mad. And he's supposed to forget his training because he's mad and get start wailing on Darth Maul.
Like Luke did in episode 6.
Exactly. That should have happened.
Except it doesn't work quite
as
well for
him. But there was no emotion. There was no emotion. He just jumped out and started flipping around. In Daredevil, you sense an emotion in the fights. You sense how they get... How that, there's that real... Especially because... I mean, season one's been out long enough that we can talk about that at least. Wilson Fisk, or Kingpin. When Kingpin is fighting all the time, he's beating people down.
All about brute strength.
He's big. Yeah. All about brute strength. You have Daredevil, who's very...
he's not as huge.
He's not as big, but he's still pretty brutish. He still beats people down. And then... we'll wait for season two. We'll wait for this discussion.
We can put on a discussion for Daredevil 2 on hold for maybe a week or two.
Well, I think everybody should know about the Punisher because it's in the title card on Netflix.
So, what's your take on the Punisher?
Oh, I love him! Oh my gosh!
Good.
Oh my goodness!
I think he rocked it
well,
too.
Well, okay, see, I've always been a big fan of the Punisher as well, especially more before the season came out, more recently. I started following, comics that I would that I would enjoy. So, I started reading, The Punisher. The comics that I've always loved are X-Men and Hellboy. Those are the two comics that I grew up reading. Those are those are my favorites. But I started reading more into, Punisher. And now, because of the movie, I'm starting to read Deadpool now. Starting to get into that, get into those comics. So, I want to get into more of that kind of stuff. But Punisher... has been pretty good. I've been very pleased with Punisher. I love that actor.
Yeah, he's doing
great. Oh, man.
He plays
he's
such
so good
roles,
he's,
but he does it very
he
well.
He does such a good job as the Punisher, though. It's so great. It's so great.
His arc is rewarding as a viewer. So, when you
see
it.
Still have two more episodes left.
But
it doesn't slow down. It's rewarding all the way.
Oh, yeah. It's the whole thing. Oh,
rewarding.
My goodness.
If Ross had his way, we would have been done with it the first night we started watching it. But I've been making him slow down because I just want to enjoy it.
But it's like the Punisher, the Punisher, he always, when he fights, he goes for the kill. He goes straight for the kill, and it's awesome.
Okay, this is not a spoiler thing as far as Daredevil goes, but I need to bring it up because I thought it was kind of funny. Because I feel like this rule exists outside of the show, too. There's definitely a thing where in the Daredevil universe, the fewer ninjas there are that are being fought, the more difficult they are to defeat. If there's a bunch of ninjas, they're easier to defeat. And it seems like Daredevil did the exact same thing.
Why do you say that?
Oh,
no, just wait, just shh.
No, that...
No!
Every fight scene...
You're getting a little spoilery here.
Okay, it's probably not a spoiler that there are ninjas here.
It's the dynamics, it's not the story. We're not giving away any story. Just the dynamics of how it works.
It's just that if you see a fight scene that involves ninjas...
in general with ninjas,
If there's a handful of ninjas, this scene's going to last a while. If there are a lot of ninjas,
maybe not as much as you think it would. Just
it's
throwing that out
like,
there.
It's the Naruto thing. When Naruto produces his shadow clones, there's just too many of them, and they all die instantly. It's useless. But then when it's just Naruto, sometimes you...
So if I can deviate the conversation a little bit, because sure. Some people might have heard some bells ringing just a little bit ago. I have to deflect this too. Lady Hater, what are you wearing?
I am wearing my belly dancing Renaissance costume.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, today was the last day of the Renaissance Festival, and Ross and I have gone the last 4 years. And slowly, I have been building up my costume, because if I bought everything at once, I would spend a couple $100s.
Explain to us, because there might be some people here who are unfamiliar with the Renaissance Festival. What goes on here?
Jousting, turkey legs, crude language. I'm pretty sure there was like this really old guy that said, "Nice cleavage, my lord," and like telling him to enjoy it on Easter Sunday or something, like, or he'll see him in confession or whatever. And yes. Then he got pulled up onto a show, and that was pretty hilarious because the guy was just saying that he would like be on me. I'm so horrible at remembering what he says, but he just had a bunch of jokes about
insert
hitting
joke
on me.
Here.
Yeah, seriously. But it was just really funny. And
insert Renaissance.
But everybody just calls you. Everybody just calls you Milord, Milady, and it's kind of nice that everybody is in character, and even some people who are out of the period, like there are pirates there, which does not make sense to me. And
I saw a bunch of Trekkies there one time. Was
what?
It you?
Hey, no, I found Waldo there once.
Oh, really?
I was walking there and I'm just like, yeah, motherfucker.
But what's awesome about the Arizona Renaissance Festival, in my opinion, because, well, I've only been to another one, and it was in California. And the California one, they just pull up tents and then they take them down. But Arizona, the Renaissance Festival, is actually a dedicated spot with fixed buildings.
Yep.
So they go there, and the shop people, in this, they have their own little shop, and they get to upgrade it if they need to.
The Renaissance Festival is really, really large here in Arizona. The Arizona Renaissance Festival is actually really large.
Huzzah!
And
huzzah!
What I was mentioning earlier, and Eddie looked at me and said, what? But I have one of my dad's cousins is a shop owner at the Renaissance Festival.
Really?
And he makes the Harry Potter wizard wands.
Oh, okay.
And he's usually in the middle of the area, kind of by where you buy the steins and everything.
Yeah.
But he actually produced, like, he actually built some wands for the Harry Potter movies.
That's
a
awesome.
While ago. And so now he makes his own wands, and he sells them for, like, $12 a piece over it.
There's a few places that sell wands.
You advertise him now that the Renaissance Fair is over.
I know. Hey, go next year.
It's funny, though. He's a pretty big hippie.
Really?
Yeah.
You have to be to go there.
Yeah, I know.
There's also a vendor who sells maps, like the Marauders map, or like Ooh. Middle Earth, and like a bunch of other maps, which is pretty cool.
Oh, those are beautiful.
My favorite's the blacksmith. You always gotta go and get yourself a giant-ass sword that you
Ross
can't take home
it.
On the bus.
Well,
okay, so the last time I went with you after was in high school, exactly like 10 years ago.
While we were driving there, I realized I bought my little mini knife while I was on a school field trip, which I probably should not have done. I'm thinking about it now, like if it was today, like when I was in high school, I would get in serious trouble for like buying a knife at a school field trip. But it was like when I was in 7th or 8th grade. I don't even know how I was legally able to buy it.
You laugh, but... Eddie, tell the story.
Wait, I don't remember.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I
had the means to buy a sword on our high school field trip.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna stop you right there then. So my memory of anything we did on the trip is a little vague.
Only did you drink during?
No, that would have been great part of the story. No, I had a girlfriend at the time, so I was very distracted.
Oh yeah.
And she dressed up, so that was good for me. So
we know where Eddie's eyes.
Eddie's
were
mind. Yeah, Eddie's mind was.
I was.
That's all. That's all.
I don't know what we did, but But I would, it's all fond memories for me. So if you bought something or attempted to buy something,
no.
I only vaguely remember.
I attempted to buy a sword. But now, then,
is there the only teacher tried to, like, talk you down? Is that what it was?
Yep, the only thing that stopped me was a teacher told me that I couldn't take it home on the bus. So, and I didn't have enough money for the guy to ship it to me. So, I walked away swordless. And I was really disappointed.
That's sad. Every boy should have a sword.
I know. Seriously. But I was
or two.
Like, I was arguing with the teacher. I was like, hey, I'm like 18. I should be able to get myself a sword.
You should also mention the teacher later resigned her position.
Yeah, she did. But I was like, can't take the sword home on the bus. Like, you can't just walk a drive onto school grounds with a sword. It's just not going to work.
That's dumb. Just tie
really it around it. It was really dumb. I wanted a sword.
I love how this conversation went to, you can't take a sword to school. Well, that's dumb.
Well, it's
dumb. How are you supposed to defend yourself?
On a field trip like that, it's not like you're going back to class.
Yeah.
You're going home at the end of the
day. Well, it didn't help that our high school involved not only going back to school, but going back into a Raytheon complex.
But yes, we were a part of Raytheon, so yeah.
So, if there was any hope of getting it past just a school part, it would the bug would have stopped that Raytheon.
Yeah, I
know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
I still, going back to that Raytheon gate, I still remember. So, we were, because I played basketball for the team and everything, for my school. And on the way back from one of our games, we were pulling into the Raytheon gate and everything. And my dad was coming to pick me up, and he was in front of the bus. And the gate raised, and he drove through. And then everybody in the bus told the coach who was driving, we were like, Florent, you can make it. Go through the gate. So you don't have to. So he floors it, and the bar comes down, and it hits the bus, and it breaks off, and it hit the back of my dad's truck. But we were like, oh! All celebrating.
I'm going to say this next sentence. I hope we don't get into a Eddie and Josh go to high school tangent here. But didn't that happen at a railroad crossing one time too?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Same thing. The railroad crossing.
Okay. You can make it. You can make it.
Okay.
Same thing.
Why did I just right now get a Twitter update that Kage Palazzo is on Twitter and I should follow him?
You should.
Hey.
You should.
Just right now.
Yeah.
Hey. This is brand new news. If nobody knows about this,
Kage Palazzo
is
on Twitter.
He is totally on Twitter and he will be tweeting away.
He'll be tweeting.
I was just concerned that why I just got this right now.
Anyway. I don't use Twitter, but apparently I have a Twitter account.
Good for
you. I made it only to troll celebrities.
Some picture of just like a salt shaker with a death symbol on it.
Shake it like a salt shaker.
All right, everyone needs to be quiet! Because this is where we get to the serious portion of our podcast today. And that is that Camp Fangamer 2016 is going to be a thing in Tucson this year. I know it. Okay, so it's not exactly for sure yet this year. But Camp Fan Gamer 2016 just started a Kickstarter campaign. They are under the guise of Camp Video Gamely. And if anybody knows Camp Fan Gamer, last year was their very first Camp Fan Gamer convention at the Tucson Hilton. And
we missed.
I was there.
He was there.
All 3 days of this convention.
He was all there all 3 days.
It was amazing.
80% of us missed it.
I was this close to winning the Smash Brothers. Okay, maybe I only made it to the quarterfinals. But it was amazing, amazing convention. It was based mostly around the Earthbound series of games. Mother, for anybody who actually knows Earthbound deep enough. But amazing, amazing convention. Why is it in Tucson? Because Tucson is actually a city in Earthbound, even if it's spelled completely differently.
I'm saying that for the effect. I just said it for the effect.
No, hold on, because they should know, because if they're listening to our podcast,
they're like, of all
places, they're watching our podcast.
Why would the Earthbound convention
at home, they should know about
be
this.
In Tucson? Because Tucson is, you know, we're Tucson because we did not come first.
No, we did not. Not once in...
The
one seems like our Earth 2 counterpart. Okay.
There is a Kickstarter going on right now. The goal being $45,000. They're at it's been going on for 3 days right now. They've already collected $10,000, so this looks very, very positive that we could definitely have a Camp Fan Gamer 2016 this year. So I urge everybody listening to check out the Kickstarter and support it if you can. If you're interested at all in coming to Tucson and participating in Camp Fan Gamer, you can actually get your tickets for the convention through Kickstarter, and that goes towards supporting it for being here in the first place.
And if you could support that, you should probably support us too.
Just shameless plug.
We don't have an official channel yet.
But we should.
We're not actually making any money ourselves yet. But we're debating approaching the Camp Fan Gamer and maybe starting a panel or a booth or doing something out there. It would be really, really
That'll be fun. That'll be really fun.
Being that maybe a live podcast. It's local here in the Tucson area. It would be great to actually do one of our podcasts at a convention like that in town here locally. So
I hate to interrupt. Is there more of this wonderful drink up there?
Yes, there is.
Okay, so. No, there is not.
I can tell you right now, no, there is no.
Oh, he might have drank it at all.
No.
I just tweeted, just drank the last of the drink.
If you follow me on Twitter,
live tweeting on the podcast.
Live tweeting, like, totally just drank the last bit of that juice.
Hashtag FRG Podcast.
Hashtag FRG Podcast. Hashtag Kage Juice.
Oh, God.
Did we call it Kage Juice?
Kage Juice was a thing last week.
Yeah.
Oh, it was
good. It's a Mega Man game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a board game, brah.
A Mega Man board game.
Brah. Yeah, brah.
Mega
Burn.
So,
okay, what else we got to cover?
Well, yeah, because I'm trying to. Well, we're going to
because
Comic Con. We should bring up things Comic Con.
Oh yeah, Phoenix Comic Con. Because we decided that we're going to go.
Yes.
We're not going to have a booth there because we'll humbly admit that we won't be too small for Phoenix Comic Con yet. Not yet. One day we will. But we're definitely going to go for the fun.
So, oh yeah, yeah, we'll go.
So
networking.
So we hope that we see people there because Phoenix Comic Con is really cool. Last year was the first time I ever went, and it was a blast.
Like, did we have a booth there? No, we did. We had a booth in Tucson Comic Con.
Tucson Comic Con. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we're not picking up for the Phoenix Comic Con. Come on.
Have you been to Phoenix Comic Con?
No, I've been to a different convention.
It's a bigger deal than I thought I would have given credit for before last year when I went myself.
Okay,
I mean, it looked like first off, if you need money, lots of money to be there. And second of all, it looks like people who were set up shop were like either had the collateral definitely behind them, or were had a following for sure.
Okay,
so might not be at that caliber yet. I think we can do FanFest this year.
There's only two things, geeky or nerdy or whatever you want to say, that I've been up to Phoenix for. Hmm. Sabaton Con, which I don't know if anybody's heard of it.
We missed out on that.
But I've been up to that one time. And then the rave was really cool. That was a fun time. We were drunk. Like, me and my roommate. It was my roommate, my old roommate. We went up there, and we drank heavily, and we partied at the rave.
You
had me at rave.
But raves are kind of one of those things. You have to be in the mood for it. You have to want to go dance your ass off. Well, Jenny's always in the mood.
Well, you know, you can dance if you want to.
You can leave your friends behind. Because if your friends don't dance,
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Anyway, and then the other thing that I went up there for was a Pokemon tournament.
Okay. Oh, the famous one that you keep talking about?
Yeah, the Pokemon tournament that me and Alex went to. Me and Alex and, you see, nobody knows Dylan. But anyway...
No way, nobody.
A man named Dylan.
Talk about
Chris
all the time.
Another guy named
Josh. He's on the podcast.
Yeah, he's been on.
We talk about Chris all the time, and he's never on the podcast.
He was on it once.
Yeah, that's right. Pings.
He was on it once, like in the early episodes.
But anyway,
the sound you are hearing,
the blender,
the blender is creating new Kage juice.
Let's see if it's.
Is it picking up?
Yeah,
it is picking up.
Will you get your finger out of my face?
I'm sorry, it wasn't in your face.
It was pretty close. It was within Lexi.
It's like a few feet.
It was closer to
Eddie's
face. It was
closer to my face than your face.
Well, you don't understand how my bubble of influence works.
It extends at least. It extends reach out for me.
Are you sitting next to you? Have I offended your bubble influence?
You have, but I've allowed passage.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Now you got to snuggle up.
Now I'm humbled.
A temporary bird visa. Snuggle up, Eddie.
It's a lot of effort.
Okay, fine.
I mean, I would not opposed to it. It's just a lot of effort.
You're not opposed to snuggling up with Kaga?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Some little man-on-man bonking. Dead Bob reference. I love that.
So, anything else? Because I'm trying to, like,
Phoenix hold it.
I mean, we're going to be there. We'll talk
about
it.
We'll be there, yeah. So, I mean, we got what? I know Billy Piper's going to be there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And,
but no,
Diggle, yeah.
Gates McFadden's going to be there.
Whoever his real name is, Diggle from Arrow.
Yeah. No, but I'm most excited about, what's his name? Timothy, I want to say Osmond. Psych and,
Timothy Osmond. Yeah, the guy who plays,
the detective.
Moving your fingers over
Lassiter.
Your face is not
happening. Lassiter.
Yeah, there we go. The guy who plays Lassie.
No, if there's anyone I've been more excited
about,
that's a dog. Is Lassiter.
No,
that's Lassie.
Oh.
No,
that's
Lassiter,
what they call him.
Lassiter is a brilliant, brilliant detective.
Okay.
You
say
times.
Lassie, I'm like,
there's another person that I saw in the picture, but I can't remember who it is. I posted it to the FRG page. Although I don't know if somebody else posted it before I did.
Of course.
No, I think when you posted it was the first time that particular one came up.
Okay.
But, I mean, you had me at Timothy.
Nobody responded.
So that's what I'm going to go. I don't normally try very hard to get, like, autographs and stuff, but I might try hard for him.
Oh, yeah. He's cool.
Yeah.
He's a really cool actor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How did I forget this? The guy from Buffy. Spike.
Spike. Oh, yeah, Spike. Ooh, never mind. I might have to change that. Spike might have to be included in that because I was very Team Spike. I was very upset that he died at the end of... sorry, spoiler. The end of the series.
Too late.
But then he reappeared on Angel. That was amazing. But he still wasn't dating Buffy anymore, which is very sad.
More spoilers.
Team Spike.
I'm sorry.
You
are
just spoiling, dropping spoilers.
I love Spike, though.
Like 10 years ago.
But I really rooted for Angel and Buffy. But,
yeah, but he was the more obvious choice.
I know, but he's...
It needed to be Spike. Because I like Spike's redemption story a lot. So, it's okay. You can get a little of that Buffy action. Good for you, sir. And then you can die.
Okay.
Which is what happened.
Okay. So I've been itching to talk about this all
is
night.
There anything,
and I feel...
Before we do that, is there anything else anyone else would like to bring up? Because this might monopolize the rest of the conversation.
This is going
to
take a while.
Mm-hmm.
No one?
Going once?
I think we're going. All right. So at this particular point, if none
spoiler
of you
alert.
Wants... Yeah, this is going to be
spoiler
a big
alert.
Spoiler alert. You know, put on, you know, you must reach minimum safe distance within,
ye
like,
be
the next
warned,
30 seconds,
fanboys.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Batman versus
go
Superman.
Go ahead and sign off for those people who will be disconnecting now.
Oh, thanks for watching, guys, if you don't want to have spoilers.
Spoilers.
Sorry, Halfway, I love you.
I will not have some spoilers.
From this point on, we will be talking about Batman v Superman.
So I will...
Or Superman v Batman, it depends on who you prefer.
Start off.
It's called Batman v Superman,
is
Dawn
it?
Of Justice.
Oh.
That's what it's actually called.
Is it?
Yeah.
They don't put Superman first?
No.
How rude.
I'm going to start off with the very few things
Wait,
that I actually liked.
Yeah,
about
it's
the
usually
movie.
A good idea to start with the things you
so,
liked.
So
let's get off on a positive foot.
There's pretty much three things, okay? First off, the music was amazing. Hans Zimmer and Junkie XL, I loved that, like, there's a particular scene that, like, that I actually really enjoyed.
You don't have to say in particular, you can say it now. Spoiler warning,
yeah,
has been issued.
Okay, yeah, it's been issued, but, it, like, when all those criminals are on, like, the second floor, and Batman jumps through and he starts launching all those explosives on the guns, and they start blowing up to the timing of the music... Oh, that was beautiful. I loved that. I was just sitting there like, oh, that's Junkie XL. It's awesome. They were really good. They did a really good job with it.
On the same thing in music, since you're on that now, I will say I very much enjoyed the rock music that came up when main battle happened.
Junkie XL.
Is that what
I'm saying? Again, yes.
Oh, that...
Junkie XL, if you don't know, they're the ones who did the soundtrack for Mad Max.
Oh, okay. That explains a lot then.
Sorry,
yes.
Super jingly.
So,
LOL.
So that's why the music, in my opinion, was probably one of the best, and just with Hans Zimmer and Junkie XL, that was probably one of the best movies I've ever heard.
Okay.
Number two, because the music was probably the only redeeming quality of this movie.
Wow.
Number two, I was okay with Ben Affleck as Batman. And he wasn't as bad as I thought he was going to be.
Did actually a decent job.
I liked Christian Bale. I like Christian Bale better as
Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne, but Ben Affleck did a really good job.
Now
as
I
Batman.
Will say I liked Ben Affleck's older Batman better than Christian Bale's older Batman.
Yes, yes, but it was good. He did a good job. I'm pleased with that. I'm pleased that he didn't do a terrible job. And
I didn't do stupid Batman voice when people try too hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like,
where are the other drugs, Jane?
And number three, the only other thing that I really like, well, I mean, I did like the final fight scene. Like, mm-hmm. The actual fight scene was cool. The music was cool. But I did like, the only other redeeming factor is like right at the beginning of the movie. One of my biggest gripes of Man of Steel was that nobody died in the movie when things were fighting. When Zod and Superman were fighting each other in this downtown area in the middle of the day, it's a ghost town. There's nobody there.
Movie,
in Batman v Superman, it starts off, there's a huge crowd of people, and they die.
So
there's lots of people.
It's funny you mention that, because one of the biggest things that came out of Man of Steel was the fact that this movie seems to very much focus on the collateral damage between their fight. You didn't take that away from that movie? Because everybody else saw Man of Steel.
It was a ghost town.
Everyone who saw Man of Steel. And it was later confirmed that, yes, people died during that.
But see, that was all inferred. I took that to be sort of like, in the original English dub of Dragon Ball Z, and I hate to totally jump over to Dragon Ball Z when we're talking about Superman.
That's
but
okay.
In the English dub of Dragon Ball Z, we went out of our way to make it sound like nobody died. When the Saiyans crashed onto the city, like the Saiyans who are aliens from another planet get out of their pods after blowing up a whole bunch of buildings and are like, it's a shame it's Sunday. Those buildings would have been full tomorrow.
Yeah, no.
And it's like, dude, people.
Or whenever they kill someone, it's like, I'm sending you to the next dimension. Like, aren't you killing them?
Yeah.
The next dimension.
In just the English version, we really, really went out of our way to make it seem like no one was dying. So
yeah.
That's just a cultural thing.
So that was easily my biggest gripe with Man of Steel, is because everything was a ghost town. You didn't actually see people die.
But I think what you were saying
they
was brought
it up. They addressed it pretty well in Man of
Steel. So real quick, before we get to negative stuff, because I hear this coming, does anybody else have any positive things to say about Man of Steel?
Plenty.
Superman?
I have. I love
Man
of Steel. You know what?
It was actually better than Man of Steel, I'll say that.
Here, no, let's go around. Thumbs up, thumbs down, simple, if you like the movie. I am thumbs up, I like the movie.
I liked it. I love it, but I liked it.
Okay,
I
but why?
Four thumbs.
But, well, I want to let's go around real quick about the like or dislike, just in general, quick, because we'll be going into this rest of the episode anyway.
Okay.
I liked it.
So
see, I have to thumbs down.
Everybody knows, like.
Well, that's why you were in the middle for a second there.
No, I was doing the Gladiator reference.
Oh.
For the viewers at home.
Okay. Everybody could see that it was like sideways thumbs down.
Okay, so. So I liked it. I guess Kelsey liked it. I mean, I agree. I'll mimic what you said. I didn't love it. I think they have a lot to learn from Marvel about how to love a comic movie. But it's still a likable movie.
Yeah, I mean, I went into it with very, very low hopes.
And that is sad. That is sad.
Well, I didn't think Ben Affleck would do a good job, and I was just like,
and see,
I
to me,
really
to
shitty.
Me, it wasn't Ben Affleck, because I know Ben Affleck can do a good job. He's been a director, and he has respect for the comic book genre. The problem I had going into this was Zack Snyder. The moment
now we're getting into negative.
Zack Snyder is the director of the movie.
Let's start negative,
okay.
I guess.
So okay, the moment that I was like, it's a sequel to Man of Steel, and Zack Snyder is directing it. I knew that, cannot have my expectations high. Warner Brothers went into this thinking Zack Snyder was going to be their Joss Whedon. And he is not. He does not have that whole grasp of comic book lore that Joss Whedon has. And Joss Whedon, even when he started the Marvel, said he was a DC guy, but Marvel got him first. You have to know the backstory behind these comic books to really do them justice. Otherwise, you end up with the Super Mario Brothers movie that just ends up being, we want to make a movie because everybody's going to like it and everybody's going to go see it.
I like
it. Even if it's a shitty movie.
Which is why Eddie's opinion shouldn't matter on Batman.
Wow.
Like, I didn't love it either,
he
but I liked
the
it.
Mario Brothers movie. No.
So let me start my bit here first, because okay. I want to go back to Man of Steel.
Okay.
Spoiler! My big issue...
You should have seen it by now.
I know.
My big beef with Man of Steel is, had this been a movie about Captain Amazo, a brand new superhero that no one had ever heard about before, that we're just making a brand new movie for, it would have been a really good movie. The problem with Man of Steel is that it was about Superman, and it did not follow any of Superman's ideology. Pa Kent is supposed to be this grand master of moral code to look to for lessons of life. How to be a good person. And what does he say in Man of Steel? Well, maybe you should have let those kids die.
Yeah, I agree with that too. That was a gripe too.
So, I mean, it was not. I can understand Superman.
I can understand where his character might be coming from. But yeah, you're absolutely right. That is not. But I think we're going to say later, a lot of these characters had different motivations than what we're used to anyway. But so, we'll get to that. Is that all you have?
I love how Ep we hear.
I forgot about that. I remember with the bus. When the bus crashes into the lake.
Pa Kent is upset that
Superman saved the bus. Yeah.
That he risked exposing himself. He was like, under no circumstances should you ever expose yourself. Because not only is that illegal, but...
Well, because he was trying to protect his son.
And to
justify the character.
That's true, but to the point where he was like, no son... Don't save my life. This
Even
is where I
totally
should die.
Could.
Even though it's completely within your power to save me, I will sacrifice myself
so that
to the tornado.
Yeah.
Come take me.
Or, like, he could have ran.
Anything!
No. His leg was broken. He couldn't run.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
his
right.
Leg
I forgot
was
about
like,
that.
Bug,
I forgot
like,
about that.
Totally
okay, okay, so...
But it all could have been
saved. Topic of Man of Steel, because Man of Steel is terrible...
Whatever.
We're gonna go.
Okay.
I just loved Henry Cavill.
Yeah, that's true.
He's just
lovable.
Sexy.
So then we get to Batman v Superman.
Okay. So now we're gonna go to Batman v Superman. I'm gonna start with a couple of gripes and complaints. Was anybody here? Who here was watching the movie going, what?
Obviously, I wasn't.
What's going on?
No.
What about the guy who randomly goes through like when? What? Wait. Okay. So how many dream sequences were there?
There were a lot.
Three.
But Ross
four.
Thinks
four?
One of them
okay.
is alluding to like the
We're not
Omega.
Getting the intro, are we?
One? Okay.
Yeah,
so
we're talking about...
Like the part that really got me, there's like this one dream sequence where it was like Batman got knocked out in his own dream sequence
yes!
and then woke up later.
And then there was that one guy who was like, oh, it's yeah. Lex Luthor. I mean, it's Lois Lane.
That was the Flash. Yeah.
It was the Flash.
Yeah,
that was the Flash.
Yeah, because he had the whole Omega thing on. So
yeah.
The funny part about that is that it seems like they didn't do the job at identifying that as the Flash. You had
no,
to know.
I thought it was like Iron Man outfit, but I was like, that
it
doesn't
was,
make sense because those are not
out of
right.
Place.
It was weird.
Okay, so yeah,
was
there was a lot about
strange.
It because you had to sort of know a lot of other comic book lore for that part to make sense. Otherwise, it was just a regular dream sequence.
Yeah.
But the other problem... And maybe this
Which
isn't really a
sense.
Problem with the movie. From what I understand, is there's actually almost twice as much movie as we actually saw.
Actually, I heard there's 30 more minutes.
There's like a whole lot more. They had to cut a whole...
Why?
Oh, wait, hold it.
Okay, so because another part of that being is that some of the scenes that were cut out of it would have increased the rating of the movie,
yep.
and they didn't want an R rating on a comic book Superman movie. They wanted the PG-13 rating, so all
so
that...
So when we
but
get the Blu-ray
we'll
out
uncut
in a few months,
version.
It'll be R-rated.
Yeah.
So we missed the Superman, Lois Lane sex scene, okay?
That was great.
That was
Superman
cut.
Was
fully
I was
clothed.
Oh, that's what you're talking about. I was like, there was a second
Superman
time?
Was fully clothed.
He's Superman.
Are you telling me
was.
That his Kryptonian boner will not pierce through this?
It will. It's okay.
Did I just hear Kryptonian boner?
Yes. For real geeks.
Hashtag Kryptonian boner. Hashtag FRG.
That's
going
awesome.
Back to this adding more content, why are we adding more content?
I think the fight scene's longer.
Well, some people are upset about the whole.
Did you just like silence that?
No,
I'm not explaining. Not explaining why he was such in a foul mood. Not only because of Man of Steel and destruction, but because
I'm going to get into that with my part.
The movie was so boring.
So here's the other part. Here's the other part that I really didn't like. Like, because we're still at the beginning of the movie. Batman should have been able to completely sneak into Lex Luthor's server room without anybody noticing.
He's Batman.
Yeah, but it wasn't Batman who didn't want to, was it? It was, Alfred who was like, well, you have an invitation.
Oh, no. True. I'm just saying, like, the part where he sneaks into the server room, where he's, like, pretending to be drunk, like, oh, I was looking for the bathroom, and I totally got lost down here. It's like, no, this is Batman. If he doesn't want to be seen, you're not going to see him.
Yeah.
And this was just, like, it just felt like he was so reliant on Alfred and following directions exactly. Like, that was a part that was just written into the story that I was like, this is not Batman.
And I don't know if I see what you mean. And I think the reason it was written that way was to... Because he did fool everybody else, for the most part. The only one he didn't fool was who we wanted to highlight in that whole scene, which was Diana, and the Wonder Woman. Because she was highlighted in that scene, because if anyone who knows Batman knows he's a badass. And now we had random first-time Wonder Woman on big screen upstaged him at one point. If we know about Batman, we know that's a big deal. Without having to go into why he's a
big
deal.
It should have been harder to upstage him than that. I really
except think we're talking about a 5,000-year-old Wonder Woman.
But
she's not at all stupid.
No, she's amazing. Wonder Woman is absolutely amazing. She should have been able to upstage him no matter what he did, so it should have been more impressive. And I really felt that, I mean, it did highlight Wonder Woman, but her highlight should have been beating Batman when he was at his best, and that was not his best. So that's my Batman gripe near the beginning of the movie. Go ahead.
The whole movie,
oh boy,
was
what,
so boring.
Can someone tell me what? Can someone tell me what was Alexander Luthor's Lex Luthor's motivation for being a jackass in this movie?
I think it was.
I think it's just insane.
It was nutty. It was the same as always. Like other Lex Luthors before him, he just saw he saw alien with supreme powers and said, that cannot happen on my Earth.
He was a weird
mix. Did you like Jesse Eisenberg's portrayal of the Joker?
He wasn't playing the Joker.
He was a weird mix.
Yeah, I think you're confused.
He really was playing the Joker.
Because this is what Zack Snyder did that I didn't really know how to take it. Because he mixed the original 1970s movie Lex Luthor with the comic book Lex Luthor. Yeah. He's like, let's take this blundering fool of a Luthor and cross him with, like, the genius of the Luthor and come up with, like, California startup company scrambled brain Luthor.
Yeah.
He must have been smoking some Kryptonian.
Would have been less impressed. I mean, I think Jesse's a good actor, and he did fine.
Oh, he did good. Actually,
with that role, I think he did good.
Reason I'm not less impressed with the character himself, because I think it was all a build-up, because he was acting zany and weird, and yeah, we saw him get away with a few things, like the bombing thing, but you're right, there wasn't like is this really Lex Luthor we're used to? Until the very point where he entices the fight between Superman and Batman, I was like, okay, there's the Lex Luthor
gambit. Like Kage said, what was his motivation? Why did he want to do this? I mean, great villains should have great motivation, because the greatest villains do not believe that they're the villain. And you could see that in him, that he was sort of on this verge of wacko, where he was just like, no, we're going to have this fight between you guys. And he didn't strike me as feeling like, I'm doing this for the betterment of mankind, that man must rise above his gods like he does in the comics.
I think his motivation for ensuring that Superman doesn't become the enemy later is crosswired with his like amoral compass, which was that I need to beat Superman, I'm going to do whatever it takes, and I'm fine with it because it's important to beat Superman.
But why?
Because Superman's a danger.
Why?
According to their universe.
Why?
It's the same reason Batman wanted to get rid of him.
Maybe they could have built up his character more instead of building up this lawyer character, senator character, for 30 minutes only to have her die while impacting nothing.
I think that was effective.
Movie.
I was totally fine.
She impacted
By the
nothing.
Way, I read this
she
in my
did
notes.
Nothing.
She's Elastigirl, so I'm okay. Elastigirl, she's the voice.
for Elastigirl in The Incredibles.
She totally is.
Yeah. The whole movie, I was like, I know that voice.
I'm just thinking, I'm not sitting there, I'm like, what are you talking? And then, also,
the wife from Oh Brother Where Art Thou.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, yes. Yes. Excellent. Okay. Anyway.
Either way, she shouldn't have been in that movie at all.
Okay. No. Well, she should have been in the movie, but she should have had a lasting point. Had she actually passed the bill that said, okay, we're going to do something about Superman, or had she been like the voice of reason the entire time?
Instead of flip-flopping the whole episode,
yeah, doing like, your had she actually gone through the movie saying Superman is this amazing, wonderful force and we need to stand by him and then be killed and then the world turns against Superman, then it would have made sense.
No, but you know what? She could have cut that entire part of the movie out and the movie would have been fine for it.
I don't think so. Look, because one of the, I think one of the overall, like, objectives of the movie was that because of Man of Steel, we have a Superman that Earth is not quite okay with. That we know he does stuff, but, like, there's a question about it and, like, whether he's safe or not. Because we're always, in the comics, we're used to a Superman that is like, hey, that's Superman. Awesome. You only hate him if you're a bad person. Like, it's clear in the comics. In the Zack Snyder, wait, just let me finish.
You're talking about the comics. I will argue that in the comics. Hands down, because I know some of the comics. So don't start making these.
Okay,
this is going to go for like an hour.
So the point is that I think overall, generally, we are used to a Superman that is like almost unquestionably good, or at least positive force. But in the Zack Snyder movie universe, that has been in question since Man of Steel. One of the objectives of this movie was to make it as clear as possible to the general public. Oh yeah, Superman's a good guy. How did he do that? Because he fucking dies trying to save the entire Earth. At that point, you can't really, like, that's a good way of winning the I'm a good guy argument, is dying for the cause. And that's what the point, then we kind of done it justice.
That narrative could have been easily done through Lex Luthor to give him the motivation that he needed to do the things that he did. As opposed to developing these random, stupid characters that did nothing in the movie.
I disagree.
So let's go back again, because we brought up Pa Kent once already.
Okay.
Has anyone here seen an anime called Sword Art Online?
Yes.
I have not.
Okay, so spoiler alert for Sword Art Online now.
So many spoilers.
One of the things that I could not stand about season 3 of the anime...
Oh, I didn't even watch that for them. I stopped at like 2.
Okay, so by the time we get to Gun Gale Online,
mm-hmm.
is that all of a sudden we're dealing with all of this emotional drama that Kirito went through. We start doing this, okay, well, back in the actual Sword Art Online saga, he had to kill people. And he had to do all this stuff knowing that he killed people. And now he's dealing with all of this drama from killing people. And I was like, wait. We saw Sword Art Online. He didn't actually ever kill anybody. We can't retroactively make this character have drama from something that didn't happen in the arc that we already saw. And he was okay with at the end of that arc. Why is there drama now, a year later, and there was no drama with him up until we decided that there was drama with him?
Or that we needed it.
until we needed it. And that's what they did with Pa Kent in Batman v Superman. They just decided, seriously? They got so much flack about Pa Kent not being a force of moral code from the first movie that they tried retroactively making him a source of morality in the new movie, where he was like Superman a vision. And when his mother was like, oh, your father always said you should blah, 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 blah. And I was like, no, he didn't. He never said go
also
be a force of good.
No place in the movie.
That was never
okay. It. No, I think it has a place in the movie. But you're absolutely right. It was a retcon.
Total retcon. He's like, let Metropolis die in a twister because you can't.
That was a mistake made in Man of Steel, and we already said Man of Steel isn't a perfect movie. So I'm going to have to allow them to that pass so that we can move along. Because you're right, because that was such a... You're right, that was such a gut-wrenching, like, what are you doing with Pa Kent? We need that source of... That moral compass source for Superman, other than the fact that his mom had now had to act like it later. But you're right. So they had to retcon that. I don't even know what else you could do but retcon that.
What I also didn't like is enjoying this, and I say enjoying lightly.
Okay.
this Batman v Superman with a Wonder Woman tie-in. And then in the last 15 minutes of the movie, Let's shove Life and Death of Superman in
the whole movie. The whole movie was Dark Knight Returns. And anybody who knows comics, this whole movie was Dark Knight Returns. Down to like the nuke going off and super in space and Superman like shriveling into a prune. It was Dark Knight Returns. The Dark Knight Returns was such an awesome comic book series. But trying to push that, and what I didn't like is pushing that so early on in the Superman career. And
but I go back to the justification that their objective was to make, okay, we need to make sure that we can point to Superman and go, yeah, he's like a for sure good guy in this universe. And because we had Man of Steel, that was going to be a question, because we had the beginning half of BVS, that was a question, until what did he have to do? He had to die for the cause. At that point, okay, he's a good guy.
Yeah, because in the original Man of Steel, it was like, you know, this guy was drunk hitting on a girl in a bar, and what does Superman do? Destroys his entire livelihood. I mean, do you know how much a tractor trailer costs? It's like $100,000 to buy this truck and this trailer that this guy's got to be using to, you know, feed his family and do anything. And because he slapped one, and I'm sorry, because this is horrible. No one should ever sexually harass anyone. And anyone who does sexually harass someone deserves to, you know, receive some kind of repercussion. But destroying his entire livelihood, I think that was taking that way too far. That wasn't just punishing somebody for a bad deed.
But who honestly thinks about that? All of what you're talking about during a movie.
Well, he did.
Along those lines.
Really?
Oh, I have another Batman gripe.
Okay.
But wait, we're still Superman now.
Along those lines.
Because we're talking about gripes with the movie. Batman killed a lot of people.
Oh, yeah,
he did. Seriously.
Whatever happened with Batman never uses guns, and I'm just like, why is there so many guns with Batman
doesn't
here?
Batman doesn't kill people. Batman doesn't use guns. But vehicular manslaughter is 100% okay.
I'm going to take you a journey through my realizing what kind of Batman we had in this movie. Because the first thing we see Batman fight is his dream sequence, actually. And that's that, like, post-apocalyptic world.
Oh, yeah, and
world
he kills the shit out of everybody.
So, he uses gun in that one. And there, I'm like, okay, he's using guns because this is the last resort of Batman. Fine. Okay, that makes sense. This is obviously a last-ditch effort by Batman in this
keep
this
going.
World. And then we get to the car chase scene, where the whole time I'm like, wouldn't that kill somebody?
Yes.
Wait, yeah, that kills somebody?
Yes.
Wait, that car exploded. Wouldn't that kill somebody? Yes. Oh, my God, he's killing people!
Yes.
Holy crap!
Vehicular manslaughter is okay to this Batman.
Yeah, and that was the whole point at the end of Man of Steel. That was just, no, Superman does not kill. And he snapped Zod's neck. Just kabam! This is the first episode of Superman, and boom, he's killed somebody.
But he was very sad about it, at least.
What boggles my mind is this whole movie is about collateral damage and how bad it is that Superman is causing collateral damage.
Exactly.
It's why Lex Luthor sicked Batman, but Batman's causing the most collateral damage because he's just fucking everybody's day up.
Well, I think that's also part of Lex's plan, is that once they kill each other,
but that's his problem with Batman, is the amount of collateral damage that he can do. I mean, Superman is the amount of collateral damage he could do, and he's going around killing
people.
The one thing that DC is trying to get away with here, and I'm not sure we should give him a pass for this, is that they're basically saying that all of the stuff happening in this movie series is happening in Earth 2.
Oh, that's stupid!
But that's why the show series like Green Arrow and The Flash are happening in a different parallel DC universe.
That's why they're not using the same character for Flash.
Exactly.
Well, I think Earth 2 is a different thing altogether than what we're seeing in the movie universe. That's got to be a different Earth if we're gonna get there. It's not Earth 2.
I forgot about the new 52.
That's why they're introducing in Flash multiple universes,
And we get that.
Or multiple Earths.
And on this Monday, we'll find out what universe Supergirl is in, because I don't think it's Earth 2 either.
No, it's not. It's something totally different.
So we got like four different DC universes at this point, it looks like.
But
then you look at Marvel and everything's on one...
Which could be a plus or minus in this case.
But the one thing I will say is that after Ben Affleck got really pissed off at the direction they received in the movie, and everybody's been complaining about both this movie and the Man of Steel, from what we've heard, Zack Snyder has been officially told he will not be making any more DC movies.
Which is probably fine.
Because it was awful. Like, I'm going to go and say...
Oh, wait, are you changing it? Because I have one more point to make about this. Are you changing something else?
Go ahead.
Okay, I need to make one point about this.
Just one?
About Batman killing people.
Okay.
Because if there's going to be a justification for it, this is the only one I could think of. Obviously, we're dealing with a very experienced Batman who's been through some shit.
20 years.
20 years of shit. So, either the only two assumptions we can make is that at some point, Batman became, like, less caring about his no-kill code, or he's always never had a no-kill code, which I think even early Batman didn't necessarily have a no-kill code. Whatever. And the only way I think this is ever going to be justified having a killing Batman is if, because of the course of events that happened in BVS, because Batman, I think at the end of BVS, Batman kind of saw a new light, if you will. I think if we want to make a corrective action here, he needs to adopt a no-kill policy from here on in because of his experience during this movie. If he doesn't, I think they've made a mistake. Maybe not one that doesn't bother me totally. But I would prefer if we see a growth in that Batman says, I now don't do a no-kill thing. I'm returning to a no-kill thing because of what happened with Superman.
Review. What is Batman in almost all the universes think about the Justice League?
It's dangerous.
Why would he mention this is a good idea now?
Yes, seriously.
Oh my gosh. The very end when he's talking to Wonder Woman?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but no, one other thing, when he was saving Batman's mom, and he's like, oh, I'm a friend of your son's. I thought that was really stupid. Like, he was just trying to kill her son, and all of a sudden he's a friend of his now.
Yeah, he would never actually admit to anything.
It was just really stupid.
Just so they could follow up with that joke. It's that joke.
The cape gave it away.
It's like the cape gave it away.
That was like the only humor in that movie.
But it was so stupidly done. Like, it wasn't actually, it didn't feel natural. Like, she paused for a bit and like, it was the cape that gave it away. I was sitting there like, what the fuck? This is the reason why I'm incredibly happy that Zack Snyder is no longer doing anything.
Yes.
Because Man of Steel, Zack Snyder did Man of Steel, and he had certain writers do this, right? Man of Steel. And it was terrible. Everybody hated it.
They went out and got
new Oscar-winning writers. They actually had people who have won Oscars before for their writing, and they got these Oscar-winning writers. Batman vs. Superman was the best that they could come up with.
Here's the thing.
That's atrocious.
Here's the thing. How many of those awesome writers actually were comic book fans?
Probably none of them.
Exactly.
It was atrocious.
There is your problem.
But here's the thing.
Like, even Ben Affleck, who is a successful director now, that was one of his issues. He went through this whole movie going, you want me to do what? You're doing what? You want this reaction out of me? He was like, no, this would be better if you did this. And just got...
I'm not even talking about just the writing for the comic book heroes. I'm talking about the pacing of the movie. The head-scratching complexity of whatever needless bullshit they kept piling in there. I'm talking about when Lex Luthor is sitting on the tower telling Superman, go fight with Batman. He's right over there. But first, let's cut to another 10 minutes of people talking. Okay. And let's cut to all of these things showing all these superheroes.
And this is a problem when you're
dealing... It took 10 minutes to get him to go over
there. This
is
the thing when we're dealing with Superman. Because the whole thing that Lex Luthor did was, we have your mother. You go fight Batman. Now, Superman is a character that could hear Jimmy Olsen needing help while on the other side of the galaxy and got to him in a matter of seconds.
Because he heard Lois Lane underwater in the middle of the fight with
he was much closer
with Doomsday. He is fighting Doomsday.
At the very beginning of the movie, where was he when the desert thing happened?
Okay, here's my other big gripe. So if we lay story aside, so no more talking about, like, we all know story, blah. Doomsday.
I was about to say,
what the hell were they doing with Doomsday? It was once Doomsday came out, I was like,
anyone else like Zod Doomsday?
Now Zod Doomsday was an interesting idea, but it was like we were fighting a cartoon all of a sudden. It was just like glowy and lightning, and he didn't look at all like he fit in the world at all.
He didn't.
It
was funny. Yeah.
Like I honestly don't know what Doomsday's supposed to look like, so...
No, I'm just mean that the effects themselves, it was not good budget effects.
I think that he was at... I think he was added at the very end of the movie.
I thought it was because he was so unstable, like, every time they hit him with some sort of energy source that he kept, like...
But it was like they couldn't even... Okay, maybe this just comes because I actually went to school... for visual arts and computer graphics and design and everything. So I actually know how a lot of those... So to me, I was looking at this going, you guys didn't even bother rendering your 3D characters with the same light source as the movie. I was like, you could tell that the movie was filmed under one sort of filter light source and they used a completely different filter light source on the 3D models. It just didn't fit.
I think that might just be a you problem because I had...
So,
yeah, because that's the thing I would notice.
Because I noticed it.
Yeah, you're clearly, in the movie, you're clearly with a different filters.
Yeah, the whole point.
So everything beyond a certain point, you're just like nagging on.
Because it took an hour and a half to get to the title of the movie.
Yes, it did. The entire time we knew there was a fight coming between Batman and Superman, and if it wasn't for the fact that
I knew Batman was going to fight Superman at some point in this movie, I would have walked out an hour ago.
And acting because it was bad.
It was really, really boring and bad. When you have your special guest stars. Are people from PBS?
Hey,
that's a death spiral of boredom.
I have to admit, having Neil deGrasse Tyson in that movie was fine.
He wasn't even talking. He was just being like, "I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson. I know about the universe."
See, that's again. You're
that was Neil deGrasse. He's just such a.
If that was any other movie,
like, he was out of place. He was the best part of that movie.
He's out of place.
I don't care. He was the best part of that movie. Anytime Neil deGrasse Tyson shows up, I'm like, "You're the man."
Exactly.
But the whole experience was discolored once you figured that this was going to be a bad movie.
I didn't even figure that it was going to be a bad movie. I went in with low expectations, but the further I got into the movie, the more I was sitting there in my seat going, okay, nobody cares.
Let's go. Come on, let's get to
Batman vs. Superman. Come on, let's go. Let's get to the fight. It was too long. They could have cut out literally an hour of that movie and it would have been okay. And I bring up the point of last night after I watched Batman vs. Superman, I went home and watched The Forbidden Kingdom because they just added that on Netflix. A movie that had, as I sent you in the text, a movie that had two titans fighting each other, going against each other done right. It was Jackie Chan and Jet Li. They fought each other in that movie.
Since we brought up Netflix, if you really want a good Batman v Superman movie, go look up the animated Batman or Justice League movie on Netflix. But it is far superior.
Every nerd knows the DC animated universe is a lot more.
It's amazing. This is amazing movies.
We can all agree on that.
Except the new Aquaman movie. The Aquaman movie was just like the sea things crawled out of the ocean.
You mean
like,
the Throne of Land?
They slapped Superman out of the way. They slapped Green Lantern out of the way. But Aquaman beat them. Them all down.
Aquaman's ripped, and in the
water, he's going to say
that. The fighting game, what was it?
Injustice.
Aquaman was overpowered in that game. I love playing as Aquaman, but anyway.
Here, I got a list of things that I got. It's a short list, obviously, of things that I was trying to really think hard about. And I think you're all going to agree with this because you're complaining about everything else at this point. So, one of my points was Batman is a super murderer. We already covered.
Super murderer?
So he was a super murderer.
He did. He murdered the shit out of a lot of people.
So the other point I had was Superman doesn't try hard enough to stop Batman. Because
he really doesn't.
Because yeah, I mean, if there was a moment, there's only one, two whole moments in the movie that really took me out, which is why I wrote them down. Which is one, the whole time I'm thinking, just tell him what's going on. Just tell him what's going on. You're just one more sentence and he'll know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen, and I think that was very contrived. Like there wasn't enough writing done behind that I think that they could have justified Superman not spilling the beans, because he totally could have. I mean, I wouldn't even have been happy if he just said the whole sentence, Batman, my mother was kidnapped, and if Batman didn't believe him, that would have been acceptable. But he didn't say it at all!
Because the writing in this movie was awful. It was atrocious. It's just, you're pointing out another thing that proves my point.
Maybe. Just keep going. But yeah, there was that point where it's like, just tell him! You're almost there! But you're right. So there was that. I don't know if anyone has to add anything else to that, but I'll get my next point. I think you guys will agree with it. So the other point is that those damn nightmare sequences were too random and with zero explanation.
Yeah, they were trying to hint that we're going to have Darkseid. That's all that was.
There was no explanation for why Batman would just have random nightmares.
Well, he always has random nightmares.
But his parents were murdered in front of him.
He's a walking nightmare.
If your parents being murdered in front of you isn't nightmare worthy when you're a little kid.
I don't know the background of comics. Uh-huh. Like, that's Ross's thing. But he was telling me who the character was for, like, the Omega symbol, but I don't remember who it is.
Darkseid.
He's a baddie called Darkseid.
So he was thinking that a lot of those references are for that, maybe into the Justice League.
And they were. And there is a precedence for Darkseid being the cause of nightmares for characters. But there was no connection made in the movie. Like, it could have been something. It could have been an artifact. Really, it could have been... They just could have tried something.
I don't know. Maybe that huge Omega symbol on the ground was the answer. I saw that and I'm just like, I'm Darkseid.
Damn it.
Which I didn't know, but which was really strange.
Yeah, when Batman came out of the desert and he was overlooking the city, there was a huge Omega symbol. And I'm just Darkseid.
When he was wearing his trench coat, he looked like Hellboy to me.
He was a desert Batman.
That was like, I'm a desperado Batman.
It's awesome. Actually.
Well, it's the ruined world Batman, because that's the future if Darkseid wins.
Yeah. It just seemed the only kind of explanation, quote unquote, that there was for his hallucinations was the Flash coming back through time and warning him. Which, even that wasn't done with, all the clarity in the world.
Well, it was very confusing, because his
outfit... I first thought it was Cyborg, and then I'm like, wait, no, that's Flash.
So there's a scene where the Flash, rips through reality and tries to warn Batman. But at that point, we still don't know if that was actually working or if there was a vision.
I'm unsure. I thought it was a dream.
And it would have been simple. All you needed to do was write down somewhere that Batman had, a Darkseid artifact the whole time, that's why he has visions. That would have been fine! Because it's comic books, we're okay with this. But there wasn't any of that. It was just his nightmares are random, and that was all they were.
But it wasn't necessary in this movie.
What, having the explanation?
No, having the dreams to begin with.
That's true, too. We actually could have had him done away with it.
Here's the thing. Had something that both Lex Luthor and Batman had access to that was attached to Darkseid that would explain Batman's course of action throughout the entire movie, and it would explain Lex Luthor going fucking batty.
Yeah, that's maybe fine.
But then none of this was mentioned at all. It was interpretation.
Like Josh was saying, it was fine on its own that Batman had a anxiety over who Superman was and what he was capable of. That would have been fine. So you didn't need the dream sequences if you just went down that route. But if you're going to have them, just add explain in some sort of why he would have a dream, because...
Yeah.
Because, unless, I don't know, that's unless he got an STD from the girl he was slept with that was unknown.
That was odd.
Random. Which, he's Bachelor Batman, so who...
Yeah, seriously.
What was the point?
But anyway, that's probably what they're, what was he just going to say?
There was not enough explanation for the flashbacks.
Well, I hate to do this, but we've now been ranting about Superman v. Batman for over... 40 minutes.
Yeah!
40 minutes now, so we
Whoa, still shorter than the setup for the movie. Wow.
I figured we were going to go in at least like an hour and a half episode this time. So we I still think we have time to cover stuff if there's something somebody else wants to say. I mean, yeah, I still think it was a fine movie.
Oh, we'll still probably be talking about it afterwards.
I just thought that all you need to do to make Darkseid is cut your hand and pour it on a dead Kryptonian.
Doomsday.
Doomsday.
And that makes a Doomsday.
I said Darkseid,
but I meant Doomsday.
You're suddenly like there's multiple gene pool. There's multiple people in the gene pool. Yeah, you're good. You just need
cross Kryptonian human with human Krypton. And
you get Doomsday. Suddenly you're got so, Doomsday. You know that's why Lois Lane and Superman can't have a baby because they'll be Doomsday babies.
Yeah, exactly. You'll end up being
that makes sense now.
That's why we have little Doomsday. You know, Doomsday baby.
Yeah. but don't forget to add a little bit of nuke in there.
Now, I will say, that out of all of the different Doomsday origin stories I've seen, this one I actually did kind of like the best. Just because most of the time Doomsday is not explained except being
he's just there.
Just some, you know, weapon created by an ancient, long-gone civilization that happened to be buried deep in the earth.
I thought it was Kryptonite. It was Krypton.
Krypton's there's creation. So many different things. Most of the time, it's like these squiddly things that made it. Mm. Yes, I'm serious. These squiddly aliens that just go... And the holographic projection.
Like that. Exactly.
I was going to say exactly. Blah, blah, blah. Tuesday, dot, dot, dot. Profit.
And then that's it. Doomsday comes out, and Superman and Doomsday fight, and Superman wins but dies. He doesn't die. He goes into a healing coma, and then all this other shit happens.
Step one, dead wax figure of your previous movie's villain. Step two, the blood of, Mark Zuckerberg. And then, boom, Doomsday.
Mark Zuckerberg. So speaking of Lois Lane, I have a question.
That painting is upside down.
I have a question about Lois Lane.
Why does it matter?
The whole bathtub scene, and I, as a red-blooded American, I appreciated it. It was fine.
But I can relate.
I want to go bathtub.
I would totally get into the bathtub fully clothed with my naked girlfriend.
Yeah, so, like...
So there was a mix in there where that was a touching moment. There was showing humanity of Superman. They've been getting along the last 18 months, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, there was a couple points like, is this too much? Like, are they really throwing any
at it? So here's my question. Why are Superman and Lois Lane so much in love?
They have 18 months to do it.
They didn't explain anything like that.
That's okay. I think that's okay. Wait, let me justify this. I think it's okay for us not to have a long explanation of why Superman and Lois Lane are together in love. Because, goddamn, we've seen that for the last, 70 years.
Good point. That is a very good point.
It's the same reason why we don't need to see Batman's parents die every fucking movie. We get it.
They're dead. Okay, so I can definitely understand that we've seen the struggle between Lois Lane finding out who having sort of this crush on Superman and just like totally dissing Clark Kent every step of the way.
We didn't need it this time. We're fine. We know they love each other. It's great.
But at the same time, it was just a very blind, like, he's an alien and I love him.
Lois Lane and all of her bullshit scenes could have been removed from the movie.
No, absolutely not. What's wrong with you?
What scene that she was in should have been in the movie?
I'm going to say all of them, but you're going to disagree.
Okay, here's the thing that I like about the New 52, is that in the New 52, we're basically saying, shove off, Lois Lane. Superman's got Wonder Woman.
That doesn't last that long, though.
But...
because we all know, it's really Batman and Wonder Woman.
No, because if we start getting... Okay, now I get to start quoting things like the Kingdom Come saga of DC.
Batman and Talia, but whatever, okay.
I don't know, the animated universe movies destroy that relationship now. You've seen the animated movies.
Well, there was never really a relationship. It was just Batman had a kid with Talia.
Because I'm saying, if you want something where, like, Dragon Ball Z... And the DC universe just sort of collide.
You're talking my language.
Okay, so let me put it this way. In Kingdom Come, you end up with Superman and Wonder Woman have a child. This child is super powered, who ends up being raised and trained by Batman.
Oh yeah, that'll work.
So it's literally Dragon Ball Z when Gohan gets trained by Piccolo. Like,
Goku, who's the Super Saiyan, has a son with Chi-Chi, who's the Wonder Bitch.
Who's actually pretty strong.
And has the son trained by Piccolo. I'm like, if we can't have a comparison between that like, this is it.
That's awesome. Thank you for that. So I guess just to go back to my point, so the only thing the bathtub scene was what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, because the whole point of the bathtub scene,
gregarious?
The whole point of the bathtub scene was to showcase that Superman and Lois Lane are having a very deep relationship.
That Superman doesn't give a shit about clothes.
but
it's an alien.
And neither does Lois.
I just feel like that might be my beef with that scene is that it shows that they're having a very sensuous relationship. But I didn't see a connection. I didn't see what is actually there that holds them together as a couple. What do they have in common? What is it that makes them click so well?
And I think the that's
Kryptonian
just
penis.
Yeah, that does it.
Or boner.
But remember, in this movie, they had to cut away from that to establish the senator.
Which I thought was fine. I don't know why you could keep rapping on the senator, because that moved the plot along for me.
What plot?
See, there's no arguing.
What part of the plot was she involved in?
She was involved in the part of the plot where she couldn't decide whether Superman was good or evil.
And then she died.
Yes.
And did nothing.
She was murdered. Yes. By Lex Luthor, of course.
Yes.
I feel really bad for Lex Luthor's secretary.
Exactly.
Who was just there,
right?
Hold that's my seat right for me, right. And I'm just like, oh, and then when I see the place explode, I'm like, she stood there for him.
And she's saying,
she looked at the chair like, oh shit.
Yeah. I was like, where is he? And then it explodes like, he just killed his person. I was like, why would he do that?
Because he's Lex Luthor.
Because he's a dick.
So
she found out Batman.
You know, I wanted to see, you know, Lex Luthor walk away from the explosion and, you know, hear that da, 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 da. You know, I felt like it was like the old campy Lex Luthor.
Now, what would have been interesting is if Lex Luthor was walking away from the Congress building with a control in his hand, clicking the controller and nothing happened and going, what? And then walking away a little bit more and then kaboom and then going, oh shit, and then running.
This Lex Luthor was the Joker. Yeah.
In case you didn't get my reference.
Yeah, that was the Joker.
That painting is upside down. Like, why? Why? What does that matter?
It wasn't upside down until the end of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Because
he mentions that he wants
because
it.
Because the whole point of that was that he considers Superman a demon, not
from
an angel.
From the sky.
Yeah. A demon from the sky.
Mm-hmm. But he could have said that instead of alluding to it.
Well, no, because then he mentions that there's something else coming, and it's alluding that maybe Superman wasn't it, but it was Darkseid. So then what is he concerned about? Is he concerned about Superman or Darkseid?
At the end of the movie, he clearly knows what's coming, because he has all the Kryptonian knowledge.
Yeah.
So he knows what's coming. So
Wait. Darkseid is beyond Kryptonian knowledge, though.
Maybe not in this universe. We don't know that. We won't know that until the next movie.
That would be such a cop-out. Kryptonians knew about Darkseid this entire time. Oh,
let's go ahead and have a civil war and kill each other, you know? That's cool.
But
because for Lex Luthor, they're all the same problem. They're all aliens that don't belong here. We're going to wipe them out one at a time. Because as far as he's concerned, Superman can't be trusted. Can't trust the Bat Vigilante. So why would we trust the other alien, too? We're just going to have to get rid of him one by one. That's his motivation.
Okay. I'll finish with this. This is going to be my last point because this is. I know I'm complaining about this a lot, and Eddie's kind of getting upset at it. And everything.
I'm not. You're entitled to your.
But I keep alluding to the senator because.
Okay, now I'm upset again.
The reason is because it took so long when it should have taken 2 minutes.
I don't understand what you say.
Establish that there's this senator who has this problem with Superman, and that there's this guy who has this problem with Superman, and that they're going to have a Senate hearing. It could have been 2 minutes of film time. It could have been over within 2 minutes.
You know what? I have.
And it would have made the same
because it didn't go anywhere. Had it actually gone somewhere? Had we had a senator who had a definite opinion, then it would have made sense to have her character built upon and dragged out to say, this is what she believes. But because she was so indecisive about it...
But the whole planet is indecisive about Superman until the end of the movie.
No, they're not, because so much of the planet was like, he is our savior.
There's plenty of other people who are like, that guy needs to go.
Is why did Lex Luthor bomb that place to begin with? See, what's the reasoning for that? They were going to vote against Superman, and Lex Luthor's
no,
like...
No, they were not necessarily going to do that. They were not necessarily going to vote against Superman.
You know.
Technically, Lex Luthor didn't bomb that place.
No, she helped him,
though. He helped...
He knew it was an
He
animal.
Helped the guy bomb it.
It was Superman.
Now, do you really think the guy knew?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the guy...
Absolutely. Did you see he was calm the entire time? He knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah, this wasn't a trap for him. He set the trap.
Yeah, he set the trap because
he probably lied to the guy and said this would kill Superman. I mean, that's likely. That probably what happened. Oh, this is probably gonna kill Superman.
But the whole sweet tea thing.
I don't know. I'm willing to debate whether that guy actually knew he was going to blow up.
Absolutely. Yeah, he sent all those messages back to Batman.
Yeah. Well, you don't know he actually did that.
That wasn't like in one instance. That was over time.
There was no proof that he actually was the one who wrote those messages, because Lex Luthor knew about those messages. Mm-hmm. So if Lex Luthor knew about those messages, he said a few messages to Bruce Wayne. If it was just this guy who wrote that and sent it back, how would Lex know about it?
Yeah, exactly. No, what it was is why did that scene happen?
I think part of it was to get rid of the senator, because the senator was... He clearly saw that the senator is ultimately not going to be on his side with it, and she was literally getting in the way of his schemes.
The point of it was to get rid of the senator.
Yeah.
Who shouldn't have been there.
Of course she had to be there. She was the representative of the indecisiveness of the government to take action on Superman one way or the other. No matter what the U.S. government did in this universe, Lex knows that they can't stop Superman from... being Superman, you gotta get rid of him completely. And the U.S. government was not going to help in that pursuit.
Yeah, even if the U.S. government decided, okay, we don't like Superman, something's gotta be done. Okay, what? Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's throw a nuclear bomb at him.
So instead, Lex used it to deface Superman further, because that makes everything he does in his side of things easier when there aren't supporters of Superman. And we get the rest of the movie.
Also, what's with Lex Luthor going through legal means to obtain kryptonite?
Trying to gain allies. That was a whole play on trying to gain allies.
Because he already did have, I will give them this, he had the backup plan already going in case it couldn't come in through legal means.
Okay.
That was thought out.
Why did he go ask the senator?
Because it would immediately make him an enemy of the state. Which, if he's an enemy of the state, isn't that going to help his goal?
Yeah, if the senator
tell people that he has the stuff.
Right, no, but no. Think of it this way: had the senator actually approved him to import this product, that would have meant that the government was on his side from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because of the indecisiveness of the government, they did not bring in what he wanted. Therefore, he already had a plan set up with this ship and stuff to bring it in. Otherwise,
have Batman eventually steal it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the whole reason he brought it in was for Batman. That was actually kind of cool.
We all know Lex Luthor is a criminal. We all know that he's going to do criminal things.
Yes, but he's all... He's,
why not this, have him do criminal things?
Because this is also the guy that always has the potential to become President of the United States in the comic books.
Yes.
He's a guy who's going to backhand, back deal all the time.
Oh my God, he's Donald Trump.
Yeah. I just thought about myself. I was like, Leo's about to say, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump.
Public facing thing work in his favor too, if he can.
That's why he has the wig.
And that's why he's always such a powerful enemy. Good point.
But he always puts up a front.
He's okay.
I'm joking.
Instead of red, he's like a big drink.
A sedative. Give him a sedative. Give him a sedative.
But as we ignore review choking over here,
just as much as you are.
No. But it's like
okay.
He's finally dead. Okay.
And we're going to blame Deadly Sodium because he did have an attempt on his life last week. Yep. So this is all Deadly Sodium.
This was
That's true. I nearly died.
This has been a week in the making.
Yeah, week in the making.
Last time. That's what he gets for almost killing me last week.
I would go see that movie. Review versus Deadly Sodium. I would see that movie.
This is why Deadly Sodium is more like Lex Luthor than
anything. I bet you I could write a movie better than these fools did.
And what they don't know is that I had Superman. A plan set in motion so that after I died...
We would have Amazing Grace being played on bagpipes.
It was beautiful. And then the stuff from the ground, the sand rising up.
Levitating.
Because Superman is that. Superman is apparently from Dragon Ball Z.
I'm okay with this.
That's what cracked me up, is right at the end, it was just like the levitating sand. It reminded me of like
so when at this
Goku
time,
was fighting Frieza. And just
at this time, I need to say... As far as good points of the movie, I like the rock music. We've mentioned that before.
Yes, Junkie X, that was amazing.
I very much like how the whole movie set up of Superman being unequivocally good guy.
I will say I liked some of the Batman quotes. Two of my favorites is when Doomsday is about to beat his head in, and he just looks at it and goes, "Ah, shit." Because that actually was funny. And I'm like, that's funny. Because I would probably be in the same position if you were Batman and you just saw this huge thing get nuked and is about to head right for your face. You'd be going, ah, crap.
Is this the coolest Batmobile we've ever seen?
No.
Was cool. I thought it looked like an RC car. I thought it looked cool.
Okay, so as far as... Because since this was based off of The Dark Knight Returns... In The Dark Knight Returns, he had a friggin' bat tank.
Yep, he did.
Okay.
Which was used in the Dark Knight trilogy for some reason.
And I will say the coolest Batmobile goes to the Arkham Knight series.
Oh, yes.
In the video really game, good. Arkham Knight, that was the coolest Batmobile.
Or the early 90s.
No, because the early 90s one is still trumped by the 70s Batmobile because it was charged by an atomic reactor.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
I have been watching Batman way too long.
But it's a bat tank. Can't be really classified as a Batmobile because it's got a bat.
It's still got the jet engine on it. It's still got the jet engine, and they still call it the Batmobile even though it's a gigantic tank.
Okay.
I also got excited when I saw three of them on the screen at the same time.
That's true.
That was very exciting. The music buildup.
What I will tell everyone.
It's amazing.
So here we go. Let's leave Batman v Superman in the positive note that we are getting a Wonder Woman movie next,
which should be really good.
It looks like it's going to be awesome, and it has a different director. Who's it? Does anybody know the director?
I know what her name was.
Yes, it's a woman who's directing the Wonder Woman movie.
Thank God.
And I am just so thankful that it's not Zack Snyder. At this point, I'm like, it's going to absolutely rock. And let's not forget Suicide Squad, which just from the last...
Be great too.
The trailer looked amazing.
Which I think we're going to get an explanation for all the Robin stuff in this movie, like the painted suit.
Well, then why would they have that first, then?
Tease.
It's a tease.
That's dumb.
It's a tease.
It's a good old... Cyborg now.
So we're probably going to get Cyborg, The Flash, Wonder Woman.
And Aquaman.
We'll start heading towards the Teen Titans type thing.
And it's going to be a while before Teen Titans, because to get to the Teen Titans, we first have to have Shazam.
Yeah.
And Shazam... I know there's a lot of people out there that hate Shazam. Shazam is awesome, so don't you dare diss Shazam.
At the same time, he is the only one that really liked that movie. You know, Shaquille O'Neal, man. I don't know why.
Okay, wait, I gotta say something.
But he really does like him.
So, speaking of the Teen Titans, there's actually an animated movie coming out this week that features Teen Titans fighting Justice League because of magic. Possession of the Justice League versus the Teen Titans. So that comes out as an animated movie this week sometime.
Yeah,
that being said, Cyborg in the current iteration of comics is Justice League more than Teen Titans.
Okay.
Cyborg doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get Teen Titans.
Young Justice is finally on Netflix, but just like on Cartoon Network, it ends in the middle of the second season, which is bullshit!
By the way, director for the new Wonder Woman movie, Wonder Woman Ubi is Patty Jenkins.
Thank you, Patty Jenkins.
What has she done before? That sounds familiar.
Just sounds
familiar. Let me. IMDb, Patty Jenkins.
I know she's done something. I feel like I heard a new
But name. It's really. That's actually kind of cool. I like that. I like that they're going to have a female director for Wonder Woman.
Well, if I recall right, they had another director set for directing the movie before, and they just decided, no, you're not working out. We're getting a different director.
Was it Zack Snyder?
It wasn't Zack Snyder, but I was like, thank goodness they're actually at the point where they're willing to let directors go.
By the way, Gal Gadot was awesome as Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. Like, Wonder Woman was really cool in this movie.
And you know Super what? Nice. A lot of people gave her flack because of her accent. But I was like,
she's fine.
What's an Amazon? Yeah, the Amazon should come from the Amazon and therefore should probably kind of have a Spanish accent.
Yeah.
It's just a 5,000 years old, so who knows what that would mean for an accent. But
created by Zeus, who was Greek, who put his dick in everything. And therefore, I would like to put this as a whole segue back to my Kryptonian boner.
Okay, no, we can okay. Patty
Jenkins, okay, I guess she directed a movie called Exposed. There's no picture for it. I don't know what
it is. That's about Kryptonian boners.
That's funny.
It's a TV movie.
It's a movie.
A TV movie on HBO and Showtime.
A TV series.
Cinemax.
TV series called Betrayal. A TV series called The Killing.
Oh, Killing's really good.
Just add the Kryptonian boner at the end of all of this. And it
TV
sense.
Movie called Five.
Five Kryptonian boners.
She also helped direct two episodes of Entourage.
Entourage Kryptonian
boner. One episode of Arrested Development.
Present development with
Monster, which I think is a movie.
Monster Kryptonian boners.
Good lord! Stop! Okay, Monster was a good movie. Don't diss that one.
A short Velocity Rules and another short Just Drive.
Just Drive Kryptonian boners.
Speaking of Kryptonian boners.
What?
Hashtag Kryptonian boners.
Speaking of that.
Of Kryptonian
is
boners?
That's what's going to be in the R-rated version? Are they going to have Doomsday as Kryptonian boners?
Good lord.
It's going to be like, it's going to be Dr. Manhattan all over again.
I know.
Doomsday is still animated, and they wouldn't dare animate a Kryptonian boner.
Just
it would just be
dingling and dongling around.
No,
like
we learned all that from Blue. No.
How long did it take you to look for that one?
I did not.
I was looking for Zod's penis the whole time.
I wasn't expecting it, so I wasn't looking.
How long did it take you to search for a nipple on Amy Adams' tits?
That one I was looking for. I was looking for that.
Yep.
All right, so today we have discussed...
I figured it wasn't going to happen because it's PG-13.
Lots of Batman v Superman. We've talked
Titanic?
About... Actually, lots of comic books.
Lots of comic books.
Don't forget, everybody, if you have the chance... Please donate to Camp Fangamer
in
Tucson. We want to have this convention here.
And we totally
want to
be there. So.
And yes, we're going to do our best to actually see if we can set up a booth or something to be there. We're going to be researching this to see what can be done about that. And
donate to us.
Can't yet. There's no method for it.
Yeah, donate to us through the impossibility.
Tweet us on how you can.
Yeah, just send us an email that I will give you $100 if you just freaking make a way to do it finally.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm working on a Patreon page. Jeez.
Okay, donate
and,
to us.
Shut up, Apple.
And as I mentioned last week, go watch Super Mario Bros. Z because that's freaking amazing.
Excuse me, what?
Oh yeah,
Eddie missed it, but it's
amazing. Yeah, that's
amazing.
Right, you missed it. That was really good. As I was dying.
Yeah, as I was poisoning heftily last week.
Tongue stopped swelling up at around 1 or something like that.
And I am actually very, very sorry.
Don't apologize.
I had no idea the deadly sodium.
It's too late.
The deadly sodium's kryptonite was
pineapple.
I wanted to keep drinking that drink too.
Now that I know the deadly sodium's kryptonite is pineapple, I will admit to him that my kryptonite is wheat.
Which we discussed, I think.
Yes, gluten.
Yes, because we've gotten an amazing carrot cake before that I was willing
to be sick for just to eat. So, all right, then, is there anything else before we end this show?
No, we did a lot today, so.
Yeah.
All right, everyone.
Maybe we should split this podcast into two parts.
No.
In that
like
case,
should have done to Batman v Superman.
Thank you, everyone. We're going to just record 10 seconds of silence in order to be able to drown out any of the background noise this time.
In a moment,
AKA deadly sodium.
Woo!
And
thanks for watching
and listening.
Don't pause it yet, Eddie.
No,
it's 10 seconds of silence.
You ruined it.
Starting now.
This has been a presentation of Front Row Geeks. Adios.